Today's reading is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 18. This morning's text contains Paul's letter to Timothy as he reflects on his life and its meaning. In doing so, he prepares Timothy for his coming death and says goodbye. The reading begins. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, and only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. I'm not sure about the pronunciation, and I apologize if I made it incorrect. When you come, bring the cloak that I have left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander the coopersmith did see me great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You also must beware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. My daughter should have been asleep. She should have been counting sheep in her little bed. She should have been sawing logs with her little angelic face all tucked into her bed, but she wasn't. I took an opportunity to take a look down into her room and to see where she was in the evening, to see if she might have fallen asleep, but she was the social butterfly. She never liked to fall asleep, and she would always fight it. This time was never different than other times. She was sitting up, bolt upright in her bed, and she was singing this song at about 11 at night. And join along with me. I know you'll know this one. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Sweetheart, what are you doing? Dad, I'm doing the hokey pokey. Don't you know? That's what it's all about. Well, this morning we're going to focus on what it is all about. We're given this powerful passage, this pastoral epistle, as it is called in Scripture, 1 and 2 Timothy, letter from a veteran pastor, from the Apostle Paul, to his young student Timothy, about what life is all about what service is all about. And he lays it out there for Timothy and for anyone who would care to hear what it's all about. Paul knows that his end is near, his death is coming. He writes, "The time of my departure has come." and he reflects on what is ahead. What is ahead for Timothy in his growing ministry as Timothy will grow up and serve in the church, and what is ahead for Paul in his soon-to-becoming death. And so we begin this conversation on life. Perhaps a conversation about what it means to live well, and as we know we are mortal beings, what it means to die well. Have you thought about a good recipe for living well in your life? Have you thought about what the good recipe would be for dying well in your life? As spiritual people, we always grapple with these existential questions about what life is really all about. It's probably timely that we shift on terms of a bit of a more personal, internal focus in our preaching. I try and change things up as we go through week in and week out. For the last 6 weeks, we've had a very externally focused time in our journey. We've been focusing on the missional kind of work, the work of the larger church, the work of our church, walking boldly into the future. We've been kind of focusing on a lot of external stuff. And today, we flip things entirely around in our focus. We talk about internal us stuff, very personal conversation today, as each of us consider how to live well and how to die well. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you as you ponder your life, your living? How is it that you live a good life? And as you live throughout your life, how is that when we move towards dying well? Well, in the passage, I would like to lift up the first conversation, the first kind of piece that I see is about fear. Do not be afraid is the overarching message that I see in this passage. We've talked about that before, of course. It comes out all throughout Scripture. The very first words of the risen Christ to the disciples, to the women, on the various different stories that we have. Do not be afraid. As we listen to all those kind of fears, those uncertainties in life, Jesus constantly reassures those who would follow his way. He reassures them saying, do not be afraid. In Paul's reference to his coming end of his life, he uses the word departure. He says, the time of my departure is come. And the Greek word for departure is akin to a tent coming down. He's kind of reinforcing us that the tent, like the body, is about to come down. And he's reminding Timothy, is that the soul is the part that's the permanent part. Our souls, not our bodies, are the ultimate permanent parts that will continue to live on. John Calvin, that great Christian reformer from the 1500s, he spoke about this, wrote about this very text, and he said that death is nothing else than a departure of the soul from the body, a release of this life, of this body in death. So read through, and it's not a long read, if we were to read through these two pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul's bravery is absolutely remarkable. He knows that his death is coming. He knows that his end is near. As Carrie shared in the stories, the kind of message that he was giving, that he was teaching of Jesus, was going to get him killed. Yet he was continually brave throughout the end. He did not fear death that would come. His faith was unwavering. Think, for us, it's a point of inspiration. It's inspiring to see the kind of way that Paul lived his life, without fear, living out his faith, unwavering till the very, very end. This is kind of a challenge for us, though. It's a challenge for us because I think the world teaches us to fear death, doesn't it? The world teaches us to do anything we can to avoid death, to be afraid of death, to avoid it at all costs. Our world avoids death at any way they possibly can. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in her famous book on death and dying, she talks about how we avoid death at all costs. She even says that we don't even view death as a part of the natural life cycle, do we? We even go to great lengths paying the mortician exorbitant sums of money to make the corpse look alive at the funeral. First message I think we're encouraged to take from this text is for us as we go throughout life and consider living well and dying well is for us not to be afraid. Second part that I really think speaks to me in this passage is the necessity for us to live a sacrificial way of living, for us to have sacrifice as part of how we live well. Paul says, I am being poured out as a libation. Now, a libation, as many know, is a drink. It's a sacrificial drink poured out as an offering to a deity. And if we were to read through the Hebrew scriptures, we would read precise ways in which the priest was taught, instructed to pour out that drink offering in the temple as an offering to the deities that were present. Paul is saying that his life is also being poured out. The same way a drink offering, a libation, is being poured out as an offering to God. You considered the importance of living your life sacrificially for others, of living your life in ways that others might experience love and grace and joy. I think about parents, grandparents there, sacrificially living their lives for their children, their grandchildren. I think about partners and friends, sacrificially living their lives in order that their friends or their partner in their hard times will have good lives as well. I think about community members, sacrificially living their lives for the better of their community, for the health and vitality of their neighborhood. I think about people in their various professions, living their life sacrificially, going above and beyond so that others might experience life to its fullest. Have you considered how you are called to live your life sacrificially for others? Might be a little bit too early for me to use a baseball metaphor. I thought this is going to be the year for the Blue Jays to go all the way. I really did. But I'm thinking about the sacrifice play. Right? The sacrifice play is that play in baseball where the player sacrifices themselves in order to advance the team, advance the players around the bases, so the team has the better chance to advance and go on to victory. That player who sacrifices him or herself has no chance of scoring, yet the greater good allows it to be pursued. The challenge, of course, is the world does not teach sacrifice as a value or a virtue. The challenge, of course, is the world teaches that we are to amass and accumulate, and the one who wins is the one with the most toys at the end of the day, right? But there's a secret. There's a secret that you know, and I think we all know, and it's always good to be reminded, though. The secret is that we are so deeply blessed when we sacrifice for others. Amen. I was so moved. Last Saturday, Jada and I, we participated in the Hot Lunch Ministry program last Saturday. And a small group of us, we gathered here at 8 o'clock, and we cooked up a really good batch of chili, and we loaded up Rod's truck with fruit and coffee and milk and chili and pastries, and we went out into the Tent City area in the Strip in Wally. And I think Rod thought we fed about 80 people. Food, love, passion out of this church. You do that, you do that every month. At the end of the time, we, and that was my first, so I was just so moved with it. At the end of our ministry there, we gathered and we packed up everything. And we were there in Wally and we just held hands in a circle and we offered a prayer. And someone said in the circle, they said, "You know, gosh, don't you feel amazing after doing this?" And we all just kind of said, "Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about sacrificing for others, sharing that life, sharing that love, being there for others." I think that this text teaches us that living well requires sacrificial living for others. The next part that I wanted to lift out from this text is that I think this text, and it's right on the front of your bulletin, this text teaches us that life is not a sprint. Life is a marathon. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Life is not about those little, quick, fleeting, happy moments that we get from time to time. Life is about enduring the ups and the downs. Life is about showing up through each and every part of it. Life is about consistently applying oneself throughout life's journey. Life is a marathon. Life is about caring and sharing, living and loving. Life is about being there for others now and always. I have friends that are crazy enough to run full marathons. And I know how hard they train. I know how carefully they prepare. I know how diligently and disciplined they are when they diet. And they work so hard for these marathons, and they run them all the way through, not just on a whim, but because they prepared themselves to run that race and to finish that race at the very end. When they're in the race, it's interesting, I find, as I talk about like the psychology behind it, when they're in the race, they're focusing on a lot of things. They might be focusing on the hill that's right in front of them, right? Is how are they going to climb that hill? But they're also focusing on the other 20 kilometers that they also have to run before they finish the race as well. Running a marathon is about pacing oneself, preparing oneself, and knowing that you will come to the finish when you are there. I think that Paul gives us a very powerful metaphor for living well when he uses running the race. You ever thought about life being like a metaphor? Life being like a marathon? Have you ever thought about how you train? Training hard. Have you ever thought about how you train to be good at life? Have you ever thought about how you prepare yourself spiritually each day? Have you ever thought about how you prepare yourself physically each day? Have you ever thought about how you prepare yourself mentally each day for the marathon of life that is ahead? There's so much wisdom in this metaphor that Paul uses. It's just so, so very powerful. Life is indeed like a marathon. It's not about those little fleeting moments. It's about that long journey that we are called to engage in throughout our life that we have been given. Living well requires living life as a marathon. And the last part I wanted to lift up in this passage is that I think this passage hints at the rewards to come in the life beyond. Paul says, "From now on, there is for me a crown of righteousness." It's interesting, when I was preparing for ministry, I was really excited to do weddings. And I still love doing weddings, but boy, you want to talk about something meaningful? Talk about funeral and dying ministries, because that is truly, truly where meaning and faith and life lives. I've attended deathbeds many times over years, and I've witnessed the faith of people, their hopes, their life being poured out, and their dreams about the future. And I've seen the kind of faith that has developed within them and the kind of faith and the hope that they have in the beyond. I mean, we don't really understand, do we, what lies exactly beyond. We can't name it completely. But we know that through God's grace and mercy that indeed life continues. And we know that through Christ, who is Lord over life and death, that indeed life does win out. And we know that God's arms are wide. And we know that God's grace is vast. And we know that God's forgiveness is immense. Paul teaches us that on that day, the crown of victory will be waiting for him, will be waiting for us. And so, as we go forth considering what it's all about, as we consider how to live well and how to die well, we are called, I believe, to embrace this amazing gift that we have been given in life, to run the marathon of life to its fullest completion, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice with the gifts that God has implanted in each of us. And as we find those times of uncertainty and those times of fear, to not be afraid. Indeed, to know that the crown of righteousness is waiting for each of us on that day. I wanted to conclude with another bit of wisdom, and that's the wisdom of our United Church. I've seen the statements of faith of many, many different churches, and I continue to be so moved and so proud of ours, because they speak to the meaning of life and the meaning of living well and the meaning of dying well. So I'm going to invite us to rise, and I'm going to invite us to share together our United Church Creed. Together we share this statement of our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.